Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans. Welcome to the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, Jay Bird Watching. I am your host, Craig Boren, with co-hosts Ken Alfred, Jason Lyons. Fellas, how are we doing this evening?
Doing all right. Still trying to dig out from all the snow that we just happened got hit with. We got about 25 centimeters here in Ajax, Ontario. But it's funny, and I'll make this point really quick, is that I was reading a lot of news, and they're saying this is a record-breaking storm. But they totally forgot January 2022, when we got 60 centimeters of snow. So anything less than 60 centimeters is not record-breaking. It's just...
Or that whole fact that Buffalo, New York isn't that far from you.
That is true.
So, Jason, how are you doing this evening?
Dude, if I was any better, I'd be Twins. I was making hat choices today, and I wasn't sure what to wear based on, successes over the weekend. And I don't like to toot my own horn, but toot, toot. So big weekend for the Niners, which was awesome. And my kids are starting their hockey playoffs over the next sort of week and a half. So tons of fun and mayhem around the house, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
That sounds about par for the course, my friend. Everybody will notice we have a fourth guest here with us this evening, and then we have our friend Evan from Jay's Journal. Evan, how are we doing?
Fantastic. Happy to be here. Just talking shop with the guys.
Yeah. Well, it won't be as quite as hectic the last time you were on the show, and I recommend for any Blue Jays fans that want to dive into our funness, and I guess I should probably just be that guy that posted it all over again. During the last year's lockout, Evan was one of the Jays Journal writers that joined us and had the guest that Blue Jay night when we went writers versus podcasters. Correct me if I'm wrong, that was a pretty close matchup, Evan.
Oh, yeah.
Squeak that out by 0.1 points in the tiebreaker or something like that. Squeaked one in at the end of there. So that was a fun evening and a good show that everybody can come back and tune into. So there was no news because guess what? Lockouts suck. So at least we don't have to deal with that this offseason. So anyways, we are going to talk a many of one Toronto Blue Jays related topics this evening. And first things first, I think we got to talk the main rumor of the hour. Because it actually even sounds like it might be imminent or there might be a trade in place with just not the final particulars and actual signing on the dotted line is that the rumor is that Scott Barlow of the Kansas City Royals has been traded or will be traded for Kevin Biggio. Evan, you're the guest on the show this evening. You get to go first. How are you thinking on that?
Well, I mean, I've been a Biggio defender for a while, but you look at the depth on this team position by position, it's really hard to see where not having Kevin Biggio there really hurts him. I mean, you look at the positions Kevin can play, at least competently, between second, first, third, and corner outfield. The Blue Jays have done a good job at going out and getting guys to fill those spots and making sure that there's a second and third option behind who they're going to be throwing out there day by day. So losing Kevin in that sense, potentially, right? I mean, nothing's for sure yet, but Kevin in that sense, I don't really think it hurts them that much because they're covered there. And getting a guy like Barlow, I mean, we want to talk about guys they've been missing, swing and miss guys out of the bullpen. I wouldn't say he's the biggest swing and miss guy available, but just given what he's done, the consistency over the last couple of years, it's hard to really complain about a potential arm like that in the pen, right? So I think there's definitely a pretty good fit there. KC rebuilding team, I think they could use a guy. Biggio's not a rookie anymore, but he's certainly still on the younger side, can play a variety of positions and put up competent at bats when he's healthy. I think there's definitely a fit there. I'd love to see Barlow in a Jays uniform at some point. Just I think that trade's equal in terms of value. That'd be something I would love to see happen.
There's a rumor there might be a couple throw-in minor league guys to balance out the fact that salary. Barlow's making a little bit more than or less than Biggio is or something like that. So, but it was your wild card level players are being mentioned. Jason, what are you thinking?
Well, this one is, again, I think it's a good deal. I'm on the opposite side where I haven't been the hugest Biggio fan. I've always liked him. I've always liked him around the team and sort of what he was doing as a, you know, as a human being, but I never really, really loved him on the ball field. And I'd like to see him go somewhere where he can play. He had a very undefined role for the last couple of years with the Jays. And I think coming out of training camp, that was something that was going to be essential for him, was to have some sort of definition to you're going to play left, you're going to play right, you're going to play two, you're going to play wherever. And so, you know, that's good for him. You know, Barlow is 6'3", 210. So he's not a little dude. He had a good year last year. He's got a good ERA. He's a good strike throwing pitcher, throws hard. So I think he's a good, if that is a done deal, then I think that's a good deal for the Jays. And, he fits into a number of different boxes that I think we've talked about over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Having that one extra bullpen arm is going to greatly help this team. And Ken, I'm looking at his projections as we like to have fun with on this show. If he stays in Kansas City, they were, projecting him at a 2.96 ERA and get it in the 70 innings out of the bullpen. That's a lot of innings for a guy to be eating up out of the bullpen, and keeping a sub 3 ERA is pretty impressive. And he was, where did I lost it? He was very sub 3. He was 2.18 last season in about the same amount of innings. So it's pretty impressive to be able to get somebody like that for a piece that we would love to keep, but we really don't have a home for.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think he's going to bring some added depth to the bullpen, like you said. Gives Romero as well a chance to take a break every so often, because it seems like he's saving a lot. Like, I think the last couple of seasons, he's nailing a lot of saves, 16, 24. I'm like, wow, that's really good. So if Ferrer's off his game or something like that, we have another potential closer to it. So I think that's going to help. And like I said before, I've always, like Evan was saying, I've always been a Biggio guy in terms of I just want him to do well. And maybe just this is not the place for him to be as well as he think as maybe we think he can actually be. So maybe this change of scenery, if it happens, will probably be beneficial for him. And didn't we just avoid arbitration with him last week or something like that as well?
Yep. So it's a guaranteed rate with him for the Kansas City Royals, which helps their financials too. Now they don't have to worry about, it's a locked in known amount of money for the season.
Okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that, I just was curious about Barlow's current contract. We would actually be getting 2 years out of him. So you're trading years for years right now, obviously Barlow being more on the, I've been doing really well and been playing really well, where Biggio hasn't had that same level of success, but we have the talent level to be able to do that. He's a little cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, and like you said, Ken, I feel like he's been thrown into a variety of different situations for KC, like not just middle relief, not just, closing, not just this. I actually feel like he might have even started a game or two mixed in there when they needed it.
Right.
But Kansas City is going full rebuild. Like if their big signing is Chapman, then, you know where that team's headed.
So they're hoping to, to that point, that's what they're exactly doing with Adrolis Chapman. Yep. They're hoping he comes out of nowhere and finds it all over again, throws 100 miles an hour actually over the plate, and then he can trade him at the trade deadline. Somebody needs a reliever.
I doubt it, but oh well.
Yeah, the Blue Jays know that story pretty well. There was a few years we did that pretty efficiently there. So
I'd like to mention, there's a lot of players on the Royals that would fit the Jays outside of Barlow. I think one name is that I've seen floating around on Twitter is Edward Olivares, former Jays prospect, if I'm correct.
You are. I saw him in Lansing a few times.
Yeah. Tore up lefties. And all of a sudden, people who hit lefties is now a target for the Jays, just given their newfound outfield depth. You look at their projected outfield starters, both two of them hit left-handed. So adding a right-handed hitting outfielder with speed and the ability to hit left-handers, I think, is something that is still on their radar. I would have loved to see Andrew McCutchen in a Jays uniform, but I mean, how can you complain about him going back to Pittsburgh, right? That's awesome. Robbie Grossman's another name to look out for. Just given the fit, he can play all three outfield positions at least decently and hit left-handed pitching really well. But if the Jays are going to put together a package centered around Biggio for Barlow and maybe Oliveras, that would definitely take a lot more from the Jays side of things. But I think they have those low-level prospects that seem...
the fillers there.
Yeah, exactly.
They, I mean, find that.
The Royals would love to see guys like that. So I think the potential for a deal is there involving multiple players, not just the two.
That point, this is obviously a team that we know talked at the trade deadline last year. So we got with Merrifield. So maybe there were some other guys in the system that they were like, hey, you know what? These guys would look good in a Royals uniform for the next 3-4 seasons. So it's that, not the full-on major league ready guys out of our minor league system. So there's maybe that next level down. Or to your point, Evan, maybe it's something, this is Aralvis Martinez and Biggio when you get what you just said.
Yeah.
High upside prospect with Biggio when you get two major league ready guys to put on this roster.
They did just dump Mondesi too. And I mean, if you look at the prospect to Boston, so he's probably going to end up being a pain in the ass. But you look at their infield depth in terms of younger players for the Royals, you got Witt. You got Lopez, you got Pasquantino, but there's one more spot on that infield that they're probably looking to fill for the future. And who knows, maybe someone like Aralvis could be that guy for him.
It would be very beneficial, I think, for them to be curious about him, because there's a couple of guys down the ways that might be also good for the Blue Jays that we don't need right now, unless obviously they talk about, you know, some of the other fun that every other Blue Jays rumor seems to be about is Bo Bichette, which I don't get, but it is what it is. Exactly. So before we dive into the main topics here and whatnot, is there anything that they've found in digging into Scott Barlow that they would be curious to talk about? No?
I just know that he's a mean muggin. You've ever watched him walk the guy, like as the guy walks up to hit, he's got that same Goose Gossage where he's just staring a hole in the back of your head. Like he watches you from the dugout right up to the box. So I like a guy like that. I like a guy who's big and intimidating and you know, he's got the hair flying and solid. I like it.
Yeah. Blue Jays fans probably haven't seen that intensity since PJ Ryan or John Rausch.
he's no Randy Johnson, but still, right? So
yeah, there you go. You can only be so intense.
Yeah. Well, how tall was Randy Johnson? What, 6'10" or something? Like, he was tall. He was really tall, right?
Yeah. He was a big boy. Yeah.
So just to be this, because I don't know if anybody knows this, there's more than one reasons, obviously, that Randy Johnson is one of the most intimidating figures in baseball history on a mound. But obviously, everybody knows the fact that he basically killed a seagull with a pitch.
Yeah.
Killed is not fair to that seagull. He turned that seagull into a dove, into a comforter.
It looked like a pillow exploded, just down.
Honestly.
So anyways, this is how savage Randy Johnson is. I don't know if you guys know what his post-baseball career is, but I'm happy to pop the quiz question here. He is a photographer professionally, and he is, most of his photography is around being the guy that's on the baseball diamond, mostly in Arizona and all the other places he played. And does anybody want to take a wild guess what the logo for his photo is, for his photo business is?
Don't tell me it's that bird with the baseball.
It's a dead bird.
Oh, my gosh.
Right now it's legs up, cross-eyed.
Do it.
Savage. So just saying, you can only be so intimidating. But anybody, baseball fans, that's look that logo up for Randy Johnson photos, because that stuff's hilarious. Wow. So moving along, we got some other... You know, 6 degrees from Blue Jays news here is former Toronto Blue Jay Scott Rockin' and Rollin' Boys is heading to the Hoff. So congratulations to Scott Rollin' is for his, you know, more or less year and a half of being a Toronto Blue Jay. But
we'll take it.
Exactly. Those were teams that were supposed to play well. And Scott Rollin' was a nice little cherry on the cake there. And guys, those couple of years didn't pan out, but I'm glad that his career panned out the way it did, because he was a very fun baseball player to watch.
Yeah.
So
I read a little bit today about, you know, when he was in high school and he was sort of moving around from position to position to position, position. And I think this speaks, you know, like if there's anybody out there who's got kids in Little League or anything like that, and you've got kids playing set positions at 11 and 12 years old, give it a rest. Like, these kids should be trying every single part on the diamond. I mean, Roland said he didn't play third base until his very last year. And then they were like, well, you're stuck here because the best player is playing short. So
yes,
he said from that point on, his whole career accelerated at a rate that he couldn't even, you know, he went through high school like a rocket. He went into college, got drafted, went into the majors. I mean, 7-time All-Star, Golden Glove, you know, career 281, over 2,000 hits. I mean, you know, it's some guys don't make big waves. Like they're not making cannonballs. They're making, you know, they just got their feet kicking in the water. And Roland was one of those guys, but he played so well. Like, I mean, he was so solid.
Yeah.
At third base.
Yeah. There's, you win 8 Gold Gloves, you know, you're doing something right. I think they only mentioned there's only 2 Major League Baseball players in all of history that had more Gold Gloves at third base. And one was Brooks Robinson, and I'm blanking on the other. So, but either way, that's nuts. And to the fact that everybody was dancing on the line, is he a Hall of Famer? Should he be making it? Da, da, da. To your point, Jason, he ran through the minor leagues in 3 years, was the rookie of the year after that brief little, hey, how you doing in the minor leagues to be in professional baseball? Yeah, he didn't hit more than he only hit 300 home runs and had a ton of RBIs, had a great batting average. But his defensive stuff was one of the best things that you could ever see in Major League Baseball. And he had great offense and was a main piece to those teams that he won a championship with. So, Scott,
did we trade him, or what happened to, like, why is he was only there with us for like a year and a half, he said?
Basically, he did really well and we traded him, and I'm trying to remember who we traded him for. So if that gives you any good ramification level on who the hell we traded him for. It was Edwin, but Edwin was the throw-in piece.
Yeah.
It was a couple of guys that never panned out outside of that. I'm going to look it up. So
the only other guy to have, you mentioned Brooks Robinson. Mike Schmidt also had more goals.
That's who it was. It was Schmitty. Yeah. 2
Philly Hall of Famers. So, I mean, I think Roland isn't quite the same level as those guys. Those guys are legends of the franchise, but Roland, very deserved Hall of Fame nomination.
Very much so.
For sure.
Yeah.
And he went in with another former Jay. He's going in with Fred McGriff, right?
Correct. Right. Yes. Very, very, also very cool. Yeah. Somebody I was also in that same ballpark of being looked over on that ballot for a long, long, long time. And it still amazes me that McGriff never got in on any of his actual ballots. They had to get veteran committee in. But to that point, both of these guys well deserved. So,
yeah. Very good. And there was lots of surprises on the people that didn't make it. Well, I don't know about surprises, but I mean, there's certainly a lot of guys that are knocking on the door that in the next couple of years are going to have to make it in. You have to think they will. How many inductees do they take a year? Is there a set number, or can it be as many as they want?
It can be as many as 0 or however many happen to get over 75% of the votes.
Okay. I feel like there might be 5 or 6 next year. Like, I mean, really, like Helton gets in for sure next year. You have to think that. You've got Bobby Wagner. You've got Andrew Jones, I loved Andrew Jones when he played. Beltran and Aroyd. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's tarnished to the point where I don't think he is.
Just to let my A-Rod anti-ism fly here, just as much as my Kiermaier-isms. Was he a cheater, he was a horrible human being too. So I'm sitting here going that. And if you look at the clauses on what makes it for, you know, if this is something that they tell all the Major League Baseball writers that actually vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's not what you did on the field, it's what you did for baseball. Those two things, I don't see how he helps on any of those, other than the fact that he's in the record books for probably all the wrong reasons in places.
Yeah.
So, and unlike Barry Bonds, you can't base his Hall of Fame career on only his Seattle Mariners stint. Because he admitted full on to taking steroids as soon as he got that giant contract from the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
So, just saying.
He was the last on my list.
Yes. But all things aside, that's how it goes. But that's a whole lot of argument for another day. So, let's get to the main topics for the actual evening here, because we're already 20 minutes in almost. The Toronto Blue Jays have been hinting and dancing on the we're going to extend people. And the first part of this whole thing I want to talk about is Vladdy has been very vocal lately all of a sudden, but in all the good ways, nothing bad. But the fact that he's more or less just I'm best shape of my life candidate. right now at the age of 23, 24, which is saying something because he's that confident coming into this spring. And he just got paid from his arbitration hearing. But the rumor is that there's some extensions coming around here. Let's talk Vladdy first. Have you guys seen what is going on with Vladdy and how the swagger is clearly amped up a notch from where it was last season? This looks like a previous season ago when he was fighting Shohei for the MVP level of confidence.
No, I haven't really heard too much about it until you guys mentioned it. So you said he's like vicious. He's looking like a tank. Is that basically it? Or what are you talking about?
There was a couple pictures I saw that he's even like, this isn't 3-4 years ago. Yeah, yeah. This is like you said, Ken, he's looking like a tank.
He could be 25 pounds light right now. And he's turned it all into muscle. I mean, they showed that picture of them standing with like he just sort of had like a t-shirt on when they were at the Rogers Center doing the things for the opening. he's big, and he's got the thing that I look at, you know, maybe a little differently than, and I do think he's ready to rip this year. I feel like he feels like last year was a miss, and he wants to be in that discussion with Shohei, and he wants to be in that discussion with Trout and every single year. And so he's got that coy smile on his face that was missing last year. And that's when fun Vladdy is playing baseball, then watch out. If it's not so fun Vladdy, then I mean, you're fine. You'll strike him out 3 times in the game, but fun Vladdy's not getting struck out. Fun Vladdy's putting one in the stands. And so, I mean, I feel like, you know, I've been reading when you sent it out the other day, I did a little bit of reading about, you know, what he's been doing in the DR and who he's been working out with and sort of what they're saying about him. And I think that's more telltale, like, you know, guys, major leaguers saying, watch out for him this year. Like, you know, he's been hitting it and he's been clanging and banging all summer long. And he's been playing more baseball than he's ever played. And, you know, he looks like he is on the precipice of possibly having one of the best seasons for anybody in a Jays uniform. He looks like an animal.
Well, very excited to see this, and let's hope it translates into the performance, because it's all about not about looking good. It's not about the show. It's all about, can he go, right? And we all agree he probably can go. I'm just kind of curious to see with this extra weight, is he going to be stealing more bases this year? Is he going to be trying to stretch out some triples this year? That's what I'm kind of curious at.
I hope so. With the guy who's supposed to be touted as the face of the franchise, I think this behavior and this, not necessarily showboating, but proud of the work he's putting in, that's expected, right? Yeah. This is something, especially for a guy who's more quiet. You know, he's usually talking through a translator. He wants to make sure that what he's saying is translated properly. Everyone's hearing him correctly, right? I think, you know, Vlad really takes his persona seriously. And for a guy who's so young, that's a big deal. And to see him backing up his words even more so in the offseason, that's going to be huge. This is a big season for Vlad. If the Blue Jays don't walk away 3 years down the road without an extension, I think that's a massive miss, because this is a guy who has a chance, realistically, to be a top three player in franchise history. He started when he was 21 years old. And, you know, he can just go and go and go. And he's putting up all-star caliber numbers year after year. He's going to. And he's got to prime himself every year for a big one, because he's going to be – and he just got the first taste of real playoff defeat. I had the misfortune of being at that game. It was
– sorry.
It was brutal. It was unbelievable. I mean, you could hear a pin drop in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really want him to carry these – feelings and everything of the off season, and I mean, you gotta think that that's been the case.
Because that, to your point, that was the first home game the Blue Jays legitimately had in this tenure of what has been playoffs runs for the last few years. But the last playoff position that they lost in was while they were in Tampa, and that was during the COVID years when they were playing in Buffalo. Yeah. So there was no playoff games in Toronto, in the Rogers Center at all. So that was the first, like you said, real taste to it. I don't know if this is going too far with the swagger or not, but did you see what he said about the Yankees?
Yeah.
The key word was, the Yankees are the easiest team to face.
Yeah. How can they get worked up over what Vlad's saying to a 9-year-old kid? I mean, people are going to draw their own conclusions.
What do you want? I can tell you right now, being the person that lives here in New York, all the Yankee fans here in town are butthurt about it.
Yeah.
Good.
Honestly, now who's afraid? You know, they're all like, oh, well, we owe you guys. No, if you look last season, we whomped you. It's just, the record against the Yankees last year was very good, and it's been the last few years.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're getting all, to me, them being so defensive about it, and I'm looking at, funny enough, the Yankee Avenue Twitter account I was scrolling through on Twitter, and sure enough, it says, "Is are you serious?" You know, it's like, yeah, and they're showing all these, the like two clips where the Blue Jays, lost to them, not the Alec Manoa going, "Come on, pass the Audi sign," or any of that stuff. It's just silly level, but I love that he's got that swag back, because I really think that, to your point, Jason, he's having fun on the baseball field. This is the kind of stuff that goes right. This is just the beginning of it. So let's, now that we've talked about Vladdy possibly being vicious and living up to the nickname I've been trying to get started for like 4 years, is Vladdy Vicious.
Vladdy Vicious.
To me, it was like the Big Hurt got his nickname from an announcer going, "Oh, wow, he really put a big hurt on that ball when he destroyed a home run," right? And I'm like, I'm just thinking, no, that was vicious. You hurt that ball, man.
So, hit the ball like it owed him money, pretty much. That's what it is, right?
Pretty much. Broke its legs completely in half. So, extensions. We already saw Vladdy got a good pay for this season. But in the midst of that whole thing, there's other teams, or other players, I mean, that are very crucial to the Blue Jays core. Now they've got some of these other pieces locked up. They got the Chris Bassett. They have Jose Berrios. They have Kevin Gausman. You got all these pieces that you got to keep together, because otherwise this is just going to be rather expensive with all these arbitration hearings from year to year. Possible feelings are going to get hurt, as we're seeing with Bo Bichette. How does that translate going forward? They're already over the luxury tax. Do you just keep going? But there's all these pieces that are moving to that whole thing. Evan, do you think Vladdy is the quote unquote one we've talked to, regardless of what he said during some of these interviews? Or do you think there's somebody else that the Blue Jays are currently targeting?
You mean in terms of an extension?
Correct, sir.
I hope it's Vlad. I think just you can break down all the data you want. To have a player that consistently puts as much good contact on baseballs as you want, regardless of the launch angles. I mean, you see what he can do in a good season when he does get that launch angle up in 2021, and everything, given the age, given his apparent love for the city, love for the team, love for the core, and him being a homegrown star, I hope it's him. The only other person you can really talk about is Bo Bichette. And if you're asking me, based on consistencies and based on, you know, the brand that the player themselves give out, I would think it's Vlad. Now, am I against a Bo extension? Not at all. But, I mean, in a perfect world, you just get both of them. You got to expect, if anything, they're just going to get one. And I think it'd be Vlad.
Yeah. Can I throw another wrinkle in?
Yeah.
Alec Manoa.
That's another guy.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. You take everything Vlad loves about Toronto and you throw it on Manoa at times like 10. I mean, that guy, personality-wise, everything.
He bleeds blue at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be as close as the Blue Jays get to Tommy Lasorda or something. You know what I mean? If you keep him in Toronto, that's going to be the guy that bleeds Blue Jay blue the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So, Jason, go for it. You were all over that a minute ago. Sorry, I scoped you.
No, it's okay. I mean, I was looking at this quite a bit this afternoon, and it's one of those things where I certainly think Vladdy's a target, and that's what they should be doing. I think they should be locking Vladdy up. And honestly, I don't care if they lock him up forever. I mean, he and Manoa are the two guys that I think you could give the biggest distance to. You want them there. You want them to remain the face of the franchise. You know, like, I was trying to think about guys in the majors who've stuck with their teams as long as they have, and just the legacy that they're able to create. You know, it's amazing what some of those guys have done. So you don't want to give up on either of those. And then Manoa came up, and you know, you start to look they're both probably going to be making somewhere around the same amount of money, you know, annually. It's probably going to be in that sort of $27 to $30 million range, I would think, based on what we're seeing out there.
Especially when you look at the Fernando Tatises, you look at the Raul Acuñas, you look at Julio, all of them. He's in that category of crazy good talent.
Bo, to me, it is, and it's interesting because when I was looking at this, a friend of mine brought up the fact that Randall Grichuk went through arbitration a number of times and seemed happy with it. He got deals that he was okay with, and the Jays ended up keeping him for another couple of years and trading him, you know, and it was a good deal all the way around. Grichuk never seemed to have any kind of grudge with the Jays. He always seemed to play well. I liked him. You know, he was a good serviceable outfielder that started hitting the ball really hard. So, I mean, there's a lot of, it may be not as much to Bo, but, you know, I would like to see Bo locked up. And then, of course, you've got, you know, Kirk and you've got Varsho. You know, those are guys that you're going to need to lock up too, depending on how, and, you know, like how deep the coffers are and how far you want to go over the luxury tax and, you know, just start getting into Yankeeville. Like, I mean, it's, you know, we've got a lot of big numbers to throw up there. And so, I mean, obviously for me, it's Vladdy, and then Manoa too.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, Jason, you brought up the extension with Randall Grichuk, because this team, and this is from Charles Kime, that Jay's Journal that was able to submit this article, actually, funny enough, today, when we're talking about all this on jaysjournal.com. Randall Grichuk and Jose Barrios were the only extensions that the new current management has actually implemented.
True story.
Just saying that the one of those went so well. And Randall Grichuk, we haven't seen anything where I think that Jose Barrios is a forget last season and move on with it. I would really be shocked to see something that horribly catastrophic ever again. And to your point, you have sure thing extensions, I think, basically with what you mentioned in Vlad and Manoa. But you do have the Dalton Varsho that just signed here, who's going to look like a monster. I don't think they're talking Varsho extension this offseason, though, because I want to see how he performs in Toronto, especially with another fence topic we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. But Kirk is an interesting one. And to that point, even a lesser extent.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Maybe in the ballpark, or at least cheap extension candidate, would be Danny Jansen. I thought it was very ironic looking through. They were talking about the best catchers in baseball the other night on the MLB Network. Guess who was number 3 and 7?
Kirk and
Jansen.
And wow. Just what you were just saying, though, Craig, I actually marked this down. I took notes. I marked.
Look at you, all professional.
I know. So they were just talking about Jose Barrios, and I guess he's been in Puerto Rico all break. He's playing in the World Baseball Classic for Puerto Rico, and he's down as one of their starters. And the piece that I was reading was saying that they haven't seen him like this previous. Like, he was a good.
I think he's angry. Really do it. I think he just wants to.
Yeah, he's throwing it through guys' gloves, and like the break on his ball. They were like he looks like a new human being. He's in better shape, throwing the ball harder. So. I mean, you know, if he can come out firing this year, I'd be very interested.
You mentioned he was trading in Puerto Rico. They actually had reports that he spent a good month or so around Christmas in the Blue Jays training facility in Dunedin. So,
yeah.
He's hungry. He wants the season to start. So it's interesting. And Evan, it looked like you had something on your mind. You're next.
I was just talking about the Julio Rodriguez thing, and then I think about the Rafael Devers extension, the Fernando Tatis extension, the extension that I'm expecting Soto to get with the Padres. Yeah. Why can't that happen to Toronto? I mean, you talk about it all the time.
There's no reason.
How big of a market it is, how much money Rogers has. It would be unbelievable to let a generational talent like that slip through. to the point where you have to expect an extension with at least one of them. And it just gets to a point where, why can't that happen to the Blue Jays? Like, there's just no reason why all of these teams in lesser markets, more or less, are able to extend these like generational talents. And I just think that that's got to happen to at least one of these guys.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to repost this video that you posted on our chat here, Jason, because this is Vicious Laddie.
Oh, yeah. Put it on. Yeah,
you guys, just wait till you see
it. I got to be this guy, I guess, huh? So yeah. Keep talking as far as extensions go while I try to make my computer cooperate here with you.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting when you bring up the Kirk factor, because he needs to be extended as well. I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy that might give the Jays a break for 1 year. They gave him a chance. They've stuck with him. They've really, they've really made him feel like the A1 catcher rather than being, and now he's showing better than Jansen. So, I mean, I feel like if there was anybody that was going to get give a little bit of a hometown break, then I think that would be Kirk. But again, I think the hope is that, and I kind of got this feeling from the discussion. Good Lord.
God,
jeez, Louise, I can't even talk. That thing hasn't even landed yet.
There's a house back there.
He's like, where did it go? Yeah.
For the listeners that are listening on the audio, we are watching like Vladdy hit a ball right now. He's doing some batting practice. Where is he? Where was this video taken?
The DR
is actually the Vlad Guerrero. I think it's the Republic Training Facility that they got down there.
So anybody who's listening on audio and can't see this, go to, we'll put it up on
all the notes or something,
up
like
on
that,
everything, yeah. Right, because this thing is, it's amazing. Look at him, he's like
go back further.
Plaketa. It's amazing to see, and again, like, this is
there's a guy out there, I didn't even see that. The guy up really the fence that's trying to shag fly balls from Vlad.
I also
no short kind of, fence either.
I also kind of think of the Jays
still running back, lost him in the wilderness.
Yeah, the Jays need to start taking care of advantage of this marketing wise too. Like, there should be something already out there where Vladdy's breaking the glass in some of the new areas, and they're like, they can have people up there doing the repairs or something funny like that, or a guy taking one in his cup at the park, or it's too bad I'm not in marketing for the Blue Jays.
I know, right? It's too bad. And to that point too, I don't know if you guys will remember this commercial, but because it was way back in the day and whatnot, but there was a, I'm gonna let the video loop here one more time for the fans that are watching on the live stream. But there used to be an old video of it was Roy Halladay walking on the beach, and it was close to being baseball season kind of thing. He picks up a pebble and just kind of like flicks it to skip the rock, and it sinks a boat out on the freaking lake. That's what you could be too, and to your point, Jason, to be a marketing person. Just watch him just, take out buildings and watch it like fall or something, or whatever it might be. But what a perfect way here, filling on your way. They want to unveil the new renovations being done online. Or anything like that. Have Vladdy hitting home runs off of all the old stuff and watch it like, fall into rubble and show all the new stuff.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
You could do it.
Be awesome.
There you go. So anyways, I agree with you that Vladdy's probably your shoo-in in the midst of everything here to get that extension, but there is enough flavor and everything that you could fill this team out pretty well with some of those other options. And then, like you said, Evan, I think you were the one that said that you could kind of pepper in Manoa and Vladdy over the next few years, is you're already paying them. Well, you're paying Vladdy pretty well.
Yeah, you're not really paying.
Manoa is going to get paid this coming offseason. Very.
Yeah. He's going to get paid coming up. They're getting away with, very low in terms of how Major League Baseball players get paid for Manoa right now, but that's going to go up in the next couple of years. And Vlad's contract extensions are only going to go up, right? I mean, you could see him getting like 25 mil before hitting free agency soon, right? That's just how the market's going.
Yep. And to that point, if you can lock him up, this is nothing different than the Blue Jays did in the past with Vernon Wells, for example, Carlos Delgado, the core guy. No, that face of your franchise. Coming, take it or leave it at this point. If you don't sign Vlad to something and keep him for a really long time as a Blue Jays fan, or Blue Jays fans are going to revolt a little bit. Just saying. Yeah.
Well, just just look at what's happening here. You know, I am remiss to speak of the Vancouver Canucks anymore, as they are completely dead to me. But if you want to see how a franchise can destroy itself by not making one smart decision, you know, like Bo Horvat is having a career year. Everybody here seems to like him. He's a good hockey player. And yet they turn around and sign JT Miller, the guy everybody hates, and then kick Bruce Boudreau down the street for a week. Like, it's brutal. So Jay's ownership, smarten up, get this guy locked up, and then we don't have to deal with it, and we can just watch him hit smash dingers for years and years and years.
Yep.
And then I can finally buy a Jay's jersey and not have to worry about the guy getting traded.
There it is. You sound a little disgruntled about that. Let me guess. Was it a Brett Laurie jersey?
I got the fake tattoo sleeves with it too. That came
and a cat Red Bull.
Two-parter.
I still think the Blue Jays are missing out on nostalgia. Like, I'm not having like a bobblehead for sale in the Jays shop. That's like just him, like you said, fisting a Red Bull and getting ready to and going like this or something like Popeye, but whatever. What do I know? So, but speaking of the Rogers Center and all the fun, unless there's something you guys want to add on the extensions.
No.
Talk about
The outfield.
We're talking about the outfield. The Blue Jays released the outfield dimensions the other day on Twitter, and it was really just Scott Mitchell. I don't know if he got a measuring tape out or what he did, but anyways, it came out, and this is some exciting stuff for a team that is and always has been built on offense. So I'm not exactly going to scoff at the fact that things are going to hedge that bet in the right direction. I know it made the people at the Park Metrics whatnot on ESPN kind of shit a little bit, because they're like, oh my God, that's so different. But I'm going to post this up, boys. And there's your new outfield wall dimensions. It's a little different out here in the power alleys, but it's kept the same here. But remember, though, this is also with shorter walls.
Do you guys want it broken down a little bit? Because the walls are a little bit shorter, so it makes the dimensions a little bit better. So here's what the new dimensions are expected to work out to finally. The right center field alley will be moving from 375 to 357. That's huge.
Area right in here.
Yeah. Moves from 375 to 366. Center field goes from 400 to 397. That's nothing. And then the lines are expected to stay the same at 328 to both posts. So, yeah. I mean, For a guy like Springer, that gives him a little bit more wiggle room, because he hit a number of bombs this year that were, you know, just into the first ring of the deck there. So, I mean, you know, that gives him a little more leeway of maybe those are four or five rows into the thing. But it also gives Craig's buddy Kevin Kiermaier more opportunity to climb the wall and get him that. I want you wearing that Kiermaier jersey more than I've wanted a lot of them.
Ain't happening, man. Just to be that person, I don't care what the bet is and how good it is looking for me. If that's the counter I have to pull in the background, it ain't happening. I ain't losing that bet. So, but to your point, the biggest thing on this whole thing is the fact that it's an 8-foot wall. The Blue Jays used to, I believe, those were actually legitimately 10-foot walls before. So that's not a small gap. That's, it's 3 meters, right?
So Kevin Pillar sure made those walls look 8 feet.
Yeah, he sure did. So, but to that point, there's only been so many people in Blue Jay history that could do that, and you pretty much can count them on one hand. The best one that comes into my mind is Devon White. Wearing the white panel hat this evening.
Yeah.
And you're wearing your classic.
And the tightest pants you ever saw. You could see Devo's pulse from home base.
It's so funny too, because now that he's coaching, he doesn't wear them like that no more. Because he's actually we saw him up in Toronto during the with a few coaches being out and whatnot in the transition and stuff like that. He actually went from Buffalo up to the major leagues again for a little bit there in this past season to be the hitting coach, first base coach for a bit. So, but to that point, the fact that Devo is one of those guys that shows up for spring training every year because he's on the coaching staff of the Toronto Blue Jays, pretty cool stuff. So now, guys, looking at this chart, it's a symmetrical field still. Is there anybody you think that benefits from those power alleys being the way they are?
I think all of the offense does. You get the right center field gap that stands out. You assume every left-handed hitter is going to have a benefit. And yeah, sure. I think people kind of glance over the fact that a lot of the Blue Jays right-handed hitters, particularly the really good ones, go to all fields. I mean, I could count numerous times during last season when, whether it was Vlad or Bo, would get into one of the opposite field. They're playing at Yankee Stadium, right? And you can swing one hand and hit a home run in the right field. But a lot of times last year, they would have no problem driving the ball the other way. So I think it's going to benefit the entire offense as a whole. And if I might add something on the pitching side, Craig.
Go ahead.
So the way I see it, and this is not backed up by data. I didn't really have time to get into this. But the way that a lot of the Blue Jays starting pitchers work, they keep the ball on the ground a lot. Like, you've got sinker ballers in Manoah, Bassett, Barrios to some extent, and I guess that would be it. But anyway, you get pitchers that take a priority to keeping the ball on the ground, and that works great when you have good defensive players in Chapman, Espinal, Vlad, Merrifield, sometimes Bo. So I think, teams have discretion to change their fields how they see fit. You got that abomination in Baltimore now where it doesn't even make any sense, right?
Yeah. You mean the thing that could have physically helped them win last year?
I know. I mean, Ryan Mountcastle's career just for the sake of getting another pitcher. They did that with the purpose of wanting to bring in more free agent starters, something they were struggling to do as a franchise.
Yeah.
And that, that was made to help the franchise as a whole. These changes to the dimensions of the outfield, I think this helps the entire Blue Jays team. It doesn't hinder the pitchers significantly enough that I think it's going to be – I mean, people are going to complain regardless. That's just what people do. But I don't think it's going to be as significant as people think. And it still helps out the entire offense because of just the skill of the right-handed hitters and the new abundance of left-handed hitters.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
God, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, it's – as soon as you introduce some more lefties into there, like, it's one of those things that the majors need more of is power lefties. And, you love to see them go out that way and have something about a ball going out that direction because you don't see it as much. But again, if you go and look at any of the spray charts for the Jays, like look at Kirk's spray chart. It's a mess. It's all over the place. They all are. So if you were to shorten one part of the field, I don't know, like maybe Danny Jansen is the only one that is a really like a significant pull hitter. Like everything he hits is to the same field hard, but you look at all the rest of them and like Vladdy gets a piece and puts one out to right, Springer is all over the map. Like, and same with Kirk.
Poe's a complete flip where he does nothing but opposite.
Right. Right.
Well, like a paintbrush flicking paint. That's what it looks
that's
like.
He's a late swinger. He's high kick, late swing is always going to be center or just oppo, right? And the later he steps on that high kick, Justin Turner, same way. He hits the ball. Everything is center and just to the other side of it. Same kick. But yeah, I mean, I think that the other advantage is who doesn't like home runs? Come on. Like, let's let the big dog eats a couple of times and see if our pitchers can outpitch these guys who come in and they're like, oh, they're short in the fences. Well, fine. See if you can hit it. Yeah. Jeff Weed.
Yeah, exactly. And especially when we're throwing good solid four starters at you at this point too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but guys, I don't know if you, I want to explain the average part there. It's just below the, picture there.
Yeah,
that is actually based on the major league average for quote-unquote generic ballpark, right? So, and that's how it's weighted to the Toronto Blue Jays ballpark. So this is for the left field fences. It says on average there's 18-16% more home runs to the Blue Jays left field and right center, and going toward right is completely the opposite, which does make sense because there's not as many Blue Jays lefties. So on average, I would say lefties hitting home runs just didn't happen. So
we'll see now.
It's pretty interesting though that when you look at that, right down the line in right field and left field, pretty crazy stuff. And then going up the middle into this power alley stuff, it's more or less major league average is what I would interpret that information for. But I just wanted to give you guys that benefit of the doubt. Ken, the one thing I want to bring up to you, and this is because one of your favorite hitters of all time, Kelly Gruber, was a doubles machine.
Yes.
And he played in this ballpark. And you all of a sudden made that power alley, those 375 spots, just that little bit more further for that ball that goes into those power alleys to roll in a brand new Major League Baseball season that's not going to have any shifts. That's going to be a legit gap for doubles again. So do you think that this is going to be one of those things that plays not just to home runs, but to extra bases and doubles too?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, I think it's a hitter's dream right now that we can hit them really far. But I think, yeah, like the most important thing is getting those base on balls, sorry, not base on balls, getting those extra hits on there, right? So not just maybe stretching out a few singles to a double, maybe to a double to a triple. So I think it's going to be very exciting for the Jays having this stadium like this. And I can't wait to see more, you know, more than just singles, which is going to be nice, or home runs. Because especially for those times where we have runners in scoring position, we're going to need that, you know, putting that ball in play. If we can't just hit it out, then at least we can get some extra bases on it.
Yeah. And to your point, you made a good point in the midst of that. It was that little bit of extra ball run to the fence could be the difference between an extra base too. Like that single is now a double. That double could be the most exciting play in baseball, which is a triple. It's just those kind of things.
Guys that benefit. There's at least five guys straight up that benefit. I mean, Whit Merrifield is first. He benefits the most. He hits into those alleys all the time. He's fast. He's got the ability to turn two into three or one into, you know, a long one into two.
Yeah.
Vladdy, I mean, he's faster if he's slimmer. So, you know, is he going to get more doubles? Great. Awesome. Springer, same thing. I mean, he hits the ball into those gaps a lot. You know, same with Kirk. Ball into the gap. Watch that little rotund ball of fuzz run around those bases.
Maple beef.
Yeah.
Maple beef.
You know, and again, back to Kiermaier. I mean, Kiermaier is maybe not as fleet of foot as he was, but he's still fast. And I mean, he puts balls into those gaps, or if he picks the corners down the left and right side, if you've got a deeper area to run, I mean, that's his dream. That's where he can really show off as being an athletic part of the team.
Yeah. Good deal. So anybody got anything else on that? Or we can move along. I got a couple of surprise topics I wanted to actually purposely hit you with here at the end.
Really?
So, okay. Surprise. Go ahead, Evan.
In terms of renovations, I think as a fan, the new destinations within Rogers Center, that's exciting. I know it's not absolute dimensions, but the restaurants and the bars are putting in there. It's pretty cool. Rogers Center was without its destinations for a very long time, which kind of made it feel like not a ballpark, more of a multi-purpose event center. But as a fan who is fortunate enough to go there a couple times a year, I'm looking forward to that.
I am going to get my passport back on Friday. I will be there this summer. So anybody wants to join,
I will be there this summer too.
Awesome.
Yeah. I guess Jason and I are going to have to link up on dates so we can travel on the same date and we can all go, yay, Jay's turn old fan side at night.
Not that far for me to show up as well. So, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, that's why I just assumed you'd be there anyway, Ken. That's why I
I think so. I want my kids to see their first Jays game now that we're, you know, watching baseball more. So absolutely.
Bingo. So on to your point, Evan, we actually had a lengthy discussion last week on last week's show on the actual renovations. They didn't have this information quite on hand at the moment when we were having that show, because it came out in between episodes. So one thing I wanted to spring on you. We talked Hall of Fame earlier with Roland and McGriff getting into the hall this coming summer, which I'm actually might be making a pilgrimage for, because that's pretty damn cool stuff. And you don't see two former Blue Jays get into the Hall of Fame that often. So what Blue Jays in your heads should be Hall of Famers? Evan, I'm going to let you go pick one first, one that didn't make it that you think in your eyes should be a baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah. This should be the easiest one. I think it's the biggest crime. Carlos Delgado. He has no business not being. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's a shame that you have to hope that he gets the McGriff treatment later on. Hopefully he's brought back. Hopefully he's put on there, but he's kind of without the team accolades, right? I don't think he has a World Series. I don't know how much
he barely has any playoffs. World Series,
93. Yep. He has that ring.
He has a ring.
Yes. But I think the individual accolades, the single game performances, how he is as a human being, like you were saying at the beginning of the show. He has all those boxes checked off, and how he's on the Hall of Fame is yeah. horrifying to me.
If you look on paper, he is Fred McGriff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just saying. I wrote an article many years ago when I was still writing with Jay's Journal, which apparently after last week, I'm all of a sudden doing again. I just haven't done a new article yet.
Yeah.
So there is that. So he was my number two, McGriff being my number one.
Okay.
So I won one finally after 5 years since I wrote that article.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Ken, in your heart, and I can't say Kelly Gruber's a Hall of Famer.
I would have said Kelly Gruber as well, but I like Evan's choice, Delgado. I think he performed really, really well, and I don't know, how can you not? Because he was kind of like a bit of the face for the Jays for during that period of time.
Yeah. You go away from if you think of the Angry Bird, like, logo that we had for all those years, there's two people that come to the mind, and only one of them's in the Hall of Fame, and the other one not being is a little funny. Roy Halladay being the other. Delgado.
Yeah.
Being the one that is rightfully so.
Maybe Jason. Sean Green. How did Sean Green do? I know he did. He had a few good seasons with the Jays.
Right? Sean Green ended up having a very fruitful Major League Baseball career. And honestly, he could fall into the Harold Baines category. I think he was just as good, if not better, than Harold Baines. Because guess what he could do? Play defense. Harold Baines barely played defense. So, good call. Jason.
Well, mine is akin to like Paul Henderson being in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Paul Henderson didn't have the most prolific hockey career. He certainly scored one very, very, very important goal against the Russians. And, you know, that's what he's known for. So my miss for the Hall of Fame has got to be Joe Carter. I mean, you know, I don't know anybody who is more influential to a franchise for a long amount of time than Joe. I mean, he hit a home run that is still, all you have to do is hear the first part of that call, and anyone who's a Jays fan knows it like that. So
there's a lot of baseball fans, period, that know that.
Yeah.
Call. And just saying Joe had
a good career. I mean, you know, it's, you know, a few other names came to mind, like Dave Steeb and a few other guys who, you know,
Dave Steeb.
Let me have my guy. Please.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I'm just going with Joe Carter, and that's it. Joe Carter. So,
but to your point, Joe Carter, not only does all the Blue Jays fans and most major league enthusiasts from that time know that call, that is still one of two home runs like that in all of Major League Baseball history. That is one of two walk-off World Series winning home runs in baseball history. The other one, it has a name to it, literally. It's called the shot heard around the world, which was the Bill Mazeroski hitting a home run to beat the New York Yankees in the World Series. Just saying.
Crazy.
So, crazy. So there's another good reason. And by the way, that bat and ball are actually in Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame for the both those, and they're in the same display case with Joe doing the fist jumping and everything, and Mazeroski doing it. It's a really cool display. So more holiday destinations for baseball fans. If you haven't had a chance to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you can hang out with me. I'll go. It's only about 2 hours from me.
There you go.
I'm spoiled. So anyways, my pick, John Olerud.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best Major League Baseball hitters that nobody knows. So,
yeah.
1993. He beats two Hall of Famers for the batting title that year in Roberto Alomar and Paul Molitor. Not only did he beat them, he destroyed them. The Blue Jays were the top three batting average players in Major League Baseball that year with those three guys. John Olerud batted a mere 361 and flirted with 400 for 4 months of the baseball season.
That was like a legitimate storyline back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like actually within reach until like August or something.
Yes, it was in full on reach. And actually, if you're looking for something really cool to watch on YouTube, there is a video from somebody that did a really good job on their homework and actually had the graph of the, you know, going like this with the batting averages for Ted Williams the year he did it.
Yeah.
And John Olerud. And in the midst of my article that I was talking about a minute ago, there is actually a very famous quote from Ted Williams. And the quote was, not that year, he was at talking about Major League Baseball players in 91, 92, somewhere in that ballpark. And they asked him if anybody else in Major League Baseball currently might be able to hit 400. He actually said John Olerud, if he was a little bit faster.
Mm.
because he had the bat to ball skills that Ted Williams had.
It's pretty insane. I mean, just from a statistical perspective, that someone can have an OPS above 1,000 and not hit 30 home runs.
It's kind of nuts.
That's just how often he was on base and how consistently he was. And he also led the league in doubles that year, too.
He did that. He came close to doing that a few years.
Yeah.
Because he also had a very extensive career with the Mariners in the year they actually broke the single season wins record.
Yeah.
Without Ken Griffey Jr., by the way.
Yeah.
Definitely. He was one of the guys that came in to replace, and then they got Ichiro and so forth in 2001 there. So, yeah. That was a mere signing for the Seattle Mariners, bringing in Ichiro Suzuki, who won the Rookie of the Year and the MVP award in the same year. Yeah, just saying.
He was okay. Ichiro was okay at baseball. He was
just okay. So, and then the last tidbit is I actually found out who the other two random names were for Scott Rolen. And you're not even to probably remember these guys. When we traded Scott Rolen to the Reds to get rid of him, we got Josh Reneke, whose dad was a famous baseball player, but he wasn't. And then Blue Jays fans might remember Zach Stewart.
Mm.
Angry Bird guy that couldn't get out of the bullpen. And yeah. And Edwin Encarnacion was the quote unquote wild card guy thrown into that trade. Not the centerpiece. Those other two guys were.
Played third back then.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then famously, not too long after that, the Blue Jays actually waived Edwin Encarnacion. He was a free agent, and I believe the Kansas City Royals were about to claim him or claimed him. And then
I think he was on Oakland at one point. I think he
something ended like that.
Becoming athletic, and then by the grace of God, went back to the Jays
and actually went off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't the Twins waive Big Poppy at some point?
Yeah, he started with them, and then they didn't like him, and then. I mean,
I believe the exact quote is he's never going to hit in this league.
Yeah.
I remember reading that somewhere at some point. And, you know, Big Poppy being the, you know, character that he is, he was almost real subtle about that. Kind of like my favorite freaking random GIF with audio is going, duh, Yankees lose.
Oh, boy.
So, on that note. Anybody have any other topics I'd like to add in really quick here as we are at the hour mark? Good. Evan, shameless self-promoting time. Tell all the Blue Jays fans where they can find your stuff and how they can find you on social media.
Yeah.
And anything else you want to plug?
When you head over to jaysjournal.com, my name's Evan Geniak. Got a lot of fun stuff up there. I'm familiar with the first basemen. I did a ranking of the top five first basemen in Blue Jays history. I did the starting pitchers as well. I just touch on stuff I find, some brief news pieces, you know, if everyone would be up to date. And I try to be personal. I try to have my personality in my writing. So if everyone wants some fun time to go over to my Jays Journal. And then I'm also, I don't know, I'm not a super fun follow on Twitter, trying to be more active on that this year. It's hard to, when, you know, you're...
Worst case scenario, you could at least be a super fun follow here when you join in.
Exactly. Yeah. I love coming on. My Twitter is JiggyBats10, inspired by JoeyBats19. So you can find that on Twitter as well. And thanks, guys. I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll definitely be having that again shortly. But you got to hold on here until we finish the show with the two claps and a Ric Flair. But so Blue Jays fans, make sure you follow us on social media. We are at BirdWatchingGC anywhere you can find us, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all those fun, good holiday destinations for your, I'd say, internet mayhem. Make sure you follow us here every week on YouTube or whatnot so you can actually get alerted to our shows. Hit those subscribe buttons. Be alerted to when we go live every Wednesday evening is what it sounds like for the new future here, because Ken gets to have fun goofing around. What was the sport that your children were playing now, Ken?
They're wrestling. So they have wrestling classes on Tuesdays. So.
Great sport.
Good deal. Great sport. Randy Savage elbow drop. Done. Yep. The Macho Man. So
can't teach that stuff. Can't teach that.
So, but Blue Jays fans, also make sure when you do not catch us for our live shows and all our wonderful recordings that you find us where we actually started this whole thing as a podcast, we are on everywhere you can humanly possibly think of: Apple, Spotify, Google Play, all that good stuff. And we are the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of Fansided. Blue Jays fans and the rest of the year, ready for two claps and a Ric Flair?
Absolutely. One,
two, three. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
See you next week. Go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.